morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the April 23rd, 2023 live edition of Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, your host, and the website is theliberationstation.com. We are streaming live on Facebook, so you can follow along with some of the video on what we'll be playing. Some of the clips will be video, so you can follow along with the information, see the diagrams and the people who are speaking, and you can go to the facebook.com/wearechange page in order to get that right when the show starts, and I'll share it over to the Republic Broadcasting page as soon as I can, probably when we start the first clip or start the next commercial in maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I have a lot going on here at the start of the show, so we'll take your calls also, interspersed between topics at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And the chat room is over on the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com. Just scroll down. Once you get the RBN player going at the top of the page, then you can stay on that page and just have that open and scroll down and see the chat room. And I'll be checking in there in just a moment, as I will be on the Facebook page. So I just did an audio check of Facebook live stream is going all right, loud and clear. And so let's start with clip number one. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential ad, since he just announced for president on April 19th in Boston. So, Sam, when you're ready, please roll that clip.
What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
Every nation has a darker side, and the easiest thing for a politician to do is to appeal to our hatred and our anger and our bigotry and greed and xenophobia and all of the alchemies of demagoguery. My father and my uncle had a vision for America, a vision of racial harmony, of prosperity for all Americans, of peace in the world, and of honest government. Their lives were tragically cut short, and America took a different path. Yet the possibility they foresaw is still alive, the America that almost was and yet may be. I've been fighting corporate corruption my entire life, but I understand that today the problem is much larger than a few crooked individuals. The problem is a system that no longer serves the people, and a people who are so divided and so fearful that they are easily ruled. It's time to unlearn the reflexes of fear and blame and find ways to unify ourselves and turn our country around. I won't pretend to you that it will be easy, but I know what it will take. My father said it, love, wisdom, and compassion toward one another. And that's where we need to start. We will scale down the war machine and bring our resources home. We will rebuild our water systems, repair our roads, modernize our railroads, and clean up our environment. We will also clean up government and earn back the people's trust. We will end the secrecy, the censorship, and the surveillance. We will again be a fearless land of liberty.
The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it.
We will face honestly the darker parts of our history, the genocide, the racism, not to shame or blame or punish, but to repair as best we can in a spirit of compassion and kindness toward all. I'm inviting all of you to join me to create an America that we can believe in and be proud of again. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I'm running for President of the United States.
Well, there is RFK Jr. off to a good start, and I'm surprised. It seems like when he's not under so much stress as he often is with his public appearances, that he's really excellent speaker, very clearly enunciates. And I think he has a great track record of a huge body of work that he's done. So I think he has a great chance. And, of course, education, I think, is going to be the greatest victory. But I think he has a great chance at winning for president. As I've said before, I think that's despite all the chicanery going on with the voting and chicanery going on with the suspicious deaths around the Kennedy family, I think that he's going to win. That's what I started feeling when I wasn't even asking, as is often the case when I get an intuitive impression when I was meditating April 2nd. So that's what I commented on my April 9th show. If you want to go back and check that out, my explanation of what I feel might unfold. But briefly, it was just that I think, I already knew that Del Bigtree and attorney Aaron Seary were involved with RFK Jr.'s planned run because, I'd heard from others who were speaking in veiled terms that he would likely run. And then I saw about 2, going on 3 weeks ago, photo of them, the three of them together. So that's when I figured they were probably collaborating for that purpose. That was my intellectual self. But April 2nd, they just hit me, just as often these accurate impressions do. And the feeling of happiness at the same time, it wasn't my reaction as much as not trying to suspend my disbelief and the catharsis of trying to comprehend how productive this run is going to be and the likelihood of RFK Jr. becoming president. Del Bigtree likely going to play a big role, but likely in PR. So what I got from that meditation was that really Del Bigtree was smiling the most at the end of it all. He was the most gratified that their plans had unfolded, and I think will unfold beyond anyone's wildest dreams. So there's that. And I'd like to know what you think about RFK Jr. running for president. If you'd like to criticize him, he's not good on climate issues. And RFK Jr. has been for gun control, so I have my reservations about him on those things. But Marianne Williamson is also running on the Democratic ticket, so I guess the two of them could run on the slogan, "We're the only ones who never got a shot." We're the only ones who never got a single shot, maybe. That might be a good slogan. I think that's the biggest disqualifier. DeSantis says he got the shot, and so did Trump. Got boosters. As well, DeSantis said he got the booster, too, and other than Trump was trying to fault DeSantis in an indirect way by saying those who don't have the courage to say which shot they got. This was soon after DeSantis had said he had just gotten the regular shot on a newscast where he was asked. So, such silly pot shots, I see that Trump is pulling. And I think that it's all of these politics are theatrics mostly. And before we get to clip number two, of course, your comments are welcome. And once again, I want to reiterate on RFK Jr. running or any of the aforementioned topics or any news that you think is important, 512-248-8252 and troll-free 800-313-9443. Before we get to clip number two, I'm going to cover this article quickly from the Associated Press from 10 days ago, April 13th, 2023. Got it up on the WJLA website, WJLA.com website. Capitol Police officer who aided January 6th rioter gets probation, home detention, $10,000 fine. Article by Michael Kunzelman. a U.S. Capitol Police officer who tried to help a Virginia fisherman avoid criminal charges for storming the building his law enforcement colleagues defended was sentenced on Thursday to 2 years of probation and 4 months of home detention. Michael Angelo Riley, a 25-year police veteran, was on duty when a mob attacked the Capitol on January 6, 2021, injuring more than 100 officers. Riley's voice cracked as he lamented how his, quote, awful judgment, end quote, cost him his career, tarnished his reputation, ended friendships in the department, and traumatized his family. Quote, the amount of regret and remorse I have over the situation is unimaginable, end quote, Riley told the U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson before she sentenced him. Before the hearing, prosecutors recommended a prison sentence of 2 years and 3 months for Riley. Jackson agreed to spare him a term of imprisonment. And by the way, all the article doesn't mention that he also got community service, 150 hours of community service, it says later on. Continuing the article, the judge said Riley's actions were, quote, shocking conduct for any member of law enforcement, end quote. Quote, you know exactly how bad January 6th was, she added, end quote. She added, Jackson also ordered him to pay a $10,000 fine and perform 150 hours community service. And I'll just cut the article off there. Goes into how the fisherman was also confronted by the FBI, and that's how they unraveled this caper. The fisherman... Hiles, what is his name? Jacob Hiles. He pled guilty, and he just had 60 hours of community service. So, that's interesting and good news that at least maybe the Biden administration isn't really totally controlling the FBI, but who knows? It's all could all be part of the theatrics. And I'm also kind of surprised that I'll mention in passing here that they finally pressed charges against communists in my area here of Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay area, St. Petersburg, and also in Louisiana, where there's the Uhuru House. Well, they call themselves socialists, but when they're for socializing everything, that's communism by definition. And, I've said good things about them before. I mean, I agree with them on a lot of things. It's just their economic policy is something that sets people against each other. That's what communism does. And so they were discharged by the FBI since last June. They were... I think it was the end of last June 2022, or maybe it was July, that they were raided, and they're being charged along with Jesse Neville, and he's a local politician who's running for office in St. Petersburg for St. Pete Mayor, that they were involved with the Russians. the Russians. And I don't know if there's anything that they did wrong. I can't say what's going on. I haven't seen anything that's in the sealed indictment. So I'm just mentioning this for the fact that the Russians, according to the FBI's press releases and accusations, are aiding not someone like Trump, not someone like DeSantis, not any Republican, but Democrats. So, I'm not going to go into any further details, or I mean, we can talk more about that, but it's just worth commenting on right now, and we'll see how it goes. I do admire some of the things that they say at the Uhuru House, although a lot of the things a lot of the problems that I would have with them are their reactionary policy on economics, and they don't take any political party, they say, Omali Yeshiteli is the leader. He says that, yeah, he admits that, yeah, I've been talking to this purported Russian agent for years, and so we'll see if he's going to stand on the First Amendment, maybe the right to communicate. FBI is saying that because the Russian agent was on an open Zoom meeting, that's evidence, and I just am not clear on what's going on here. But I'm certainly not going to jump on the side of the FBI. I'm just pointing out that when you take a look at who's saying what, he said, she said, well, in this particular case, it's not a Republican involved with Russian collusion and election interference that the FBI is prosecuting, maybe persecuting. So let's get on to clip number two, Sam, if you're ready with that. This is the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, and there's a lot of news they covered. I don't have the time to go over, but one thing is their victory in Mississippi last week, where, according to the First Amendment, that religious exemptions are now allowed for children attending school to exempt from vaccines. So that's an awesome victory, and look forward to other states like New York and California. See a lot of people online commenting, come to our state, come to California, come to New York, and rescue us too. So on the First Amendment, we have a right to religiously object to anything, and firmly held beliefs are protected as well, according to court rulings in the past. So we'll just start out with clip number two, I'm not going to play the earlier part of this clip, where just before this part, this is Jeffrey Jackson, who comments on the Virality Project, which you may have heard about. We've talked about it on this show before, and was advising to from the Twitter files, it was revealed that he was advising to delete posts and ban accounts from those who are telling even true stories of injuries from the COVID shots, actually from vaccine injuries, what they say true stories of vaccine injury, and you know, went into things like they also want to censor countries that are banning the COVID shots. So that is a demonstration of the new world order when you have continuity of agenda. I see we're running out of time here till this commercial coming up, and we'll play this clip and get into some other news. Get into, if we have the time, the green energy hoax and schools across the country, the various states that are secretly transitioning students. I'm sure you've heard about, commented on it briefly on the last show, and I've heard several RBN shows reporting on it, but this is a good report for various states, so I think that's important to, if we have the time, to play that, so folks across this land can know to where to take action and sustain action. We'll be right back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Snyder with you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wanna live in a place where the truth still finds a way to rise and advise, and when everything is lies, you 'cause there's nowhere you can run and still feel safe.
The world's gone crazy.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Back here on Liberation Station Radio Show, Chris Steiner with you, we're getting queued up here to play clip number two. Sam, I was just reviewing that, and I was wondering, could you rewind it maybe to 45 seconds? I know I said 58 seconds. If that's what you have to play, then we can go with that. But if you could rewind it to 45 seconds. I just noticed at the moment as we're going back on the air here, and I can give you some time. If you can go to 45 or 48, whatever, I can give you a little bit more time if you like. You can give my commentary before this clip instead of after. I see you're typing, so we'll hear back from Sam in just a moment. This is just to give some more context. Okay, cool. Thanks, Sam. I appreciate that. Look at that. Sam making it sound so good here. And this is the last edition of The High Wire with Bell Bigtree, as I was mentioning before the break. This is just Jeffrey Jackson's weekly appearance, and he's talking, starting out, about the Mercury project that's to take place of the Virality project, which was revealed in the Twitter files as banning posts and accounts, basically just because it says when they're reporting true cases of vaccine injury and several other things like countries that have banned the COVID shots. So, Sam, and then he's going to go into Prozac and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You can warn folks about that. Those, there's no research to show that there's an imbalance caused in these psychiatric medications being prescribed, and we've always known that they never do any neurotransmitter tests before, during, or after follow-up, usually no follow-up, or very often no follow-up at all. The doctor asking the patient to come back in a week or so later and see how they're doing on the new medication. I'll save more of my commentary for Prozac and how L-tryptophan 1989 was banned just before Prozac was introduced due to a botched batch of genetically engineered L-tryptophan that came over from Japan. That great mood lifter that's good for relaxation and makes you sleepy after eating turkey because there's so much of it in turkey. I think around 2005 it became legal again. I'll comment on that whole story when we get back after this clip. So, Sam, when you're ready, please roll it.
Mercury Project, and here's a press release from the Mercury Project. Mercury Project to boost COVID-19 vaccine rates and counter public health mis- and disinformation in 17 countries worldwide. So they're researching, this is a research initiative on how this mis- and disinformation that they call it spread, and also how to combat it. So let's look at the research framework here. Again, all this is not enough for Dr. Califf. We need more of this.
I mean, what I want to point out here is I think the one thing I will agree is I think they named it properly as being, you know, one of the most toxic substances on Earth in mercury. It's exactly the toxicity with which this type of government intervention will be upon our constitutional rights. I mean, it's really, really horrifying, but go on. Yeah.
Yeah, so we look into there. We'll dig into their research framework. This was published on their website on March of 2023. And it says here, I mean, right off the bat, first line, vaccination is an action with clear health benefits. Well, if you're not on board with that, Dell, you're clearly going to be a target for this research initiative. And it goes on to say, but individuals may face a variety of barriers to realizing those benefits, including the direct and opportunity costs required to search for accurate vaccine information. They call those, quote, search costs. And then others, to assess the accuracy of multiple forms of vaccine information. They call those decision costs. And to acquire the actual vaccination itself, which is the logistical cost. But we have search costs. So that in that, they wrap that in. That takes cognitive efforts. Oh, that's tough. And then in their decision costs, and when people are deciding, they say, well, one way we can help them to decide is to flag content that is misinformation. Well, they've been doing that for 3 years. And it actually had, you know, I can save them a lot of money here. That has the opposite effect of what you're trying to do. And if you're talking about cognitive effort, shouldn't you be investing in the cognition of the people to make their own decisions, to develop their own intuition about what to do with their own bodies? That seems like that would be better for Americans and be a better investment than just labeling some things misinformation. So let's look at who's funding, because it always goes back to who's funding these projects. Yeah. Where's the money coming from? So here's a snapshot on their own website.
And we will return on that note here on Liberation Station Radio Show, playing the last edition of the Jackson Report on the High Wire with Del Bigtree. We'll be right back and pick it up right there.
So I give it no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're going to pay for me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turn around. I see a glimpse of a recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake. What I mean is wiser. What I mean is stronger. What I mean is a fighter. And there's a thousand faces of me. And we're gonna rise up. Yeah, we're gonna.
Back here, Liberation Station Radio Show, and Chris Snyder with you. We will resume now with the last edition of The High Wire with Del Big Tree, Jeffrey Jackson on the Jackson Report. Now he's going into the Mercury Project, taking place of the Virality Project, the founders and partners. He left us hanging before the break of those the list of those founders and partners up on the website. So for the Mercury Project. So Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip.
We have, oh boy, don't say it, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh, there we are.
Rockefeller Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the National Science Foundation, which is interesting because that is funded each fiscal year by Congress. So now you have direct government, U.S. government involvement in this initiative, which, you know, is very, very interesting and worrisome and problematic. And so we're at a space here where we have literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of, you know, we'll call them now citizen journalists. These are just normal people sharing accurate information. Yeah. And we have this censorship industrial complex, as it's been called by Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, that's coming down and saying, you know, one of the tip of the spears is Robert Califf saying, we need more of this. We need more censorship. And this is the battle right now. So it's the humans really versus the algorithms on this digital space. And right now, the message is getting out. We have this moment of breath where we're winning, where we're really showing people what truth is.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem they talk about, right? I mean, they are looking, they've got the sights on us. That's why we are investing a lot in our infrastructure and technology here at the High Wires, so that we'll always be able to broadcast to you. But while you're going to work, you know, all week, we are trying to figure out how they're going to try and stop us from being able to communicate with you. It's getting serious, folks. It's really happening. And when you see these politicians, and when you watch someone like Califf, who is now, he literally in the human body represents this horrific merger between, you know, medicine and AI and technologies, very, very dangerous and scary things ahead if we don't, you know, take back control of the system and get people that actually believe in our Constitution, our rights to freedom, to be running this country again. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about this, let's focus on one product line of pharmaceutical products. And these would be products for mental health issues. We're talking about, let's go Adderall. This is breaking news. This is out of the JAMA, Journal of American Journal of the American Medical Association.
Yeah.
This is the headline here. 1 in 4 students misuse ADHD drugs in parts of U.S., study finds. So this is really concerning, because these drugs are being handed out like candy. They have been, and especially during the COVID response, you saw mental health disorders and prescriptions being filled for these just skyrocket. So we have like really big widespread misuse, up to 25% there of kids using these off.
That doesn't even include all of the kids that are on the drugs being pushed by these doctors. And I'm sure it just doesn't get to be enough. These are uppers. You're giving how many of our kids? I mean, they are turning our children into drug addicts. Califf is telling us if we could just get more contact with the drugs into the society, we'd be better. They are drugging our kids, and lo and behold, shocking that they turn to the streets to get heavier doses, more doses. You're creating an entire environment, moving on to OxyContin. This is all sorts of other things. I mean, you want to talk about gateway drugs. How about gateway drug pushers? Your pediatricians are drug pushers now.
Right. And this is almost like the largest quiet experiment on the central nervous systems of Americans. And it's tough because, you know, it's quiet, so you don't see it. It's not overt. And so let's also focus on this, the antidepressants. That's Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Leprexo. So let's look at some of the headlines here. Let's talk about how many Americans are taking these. Now, this was in 2016. 1 in 6 Americans take antidepressants or other psychiatric drugs, study finds. And it's hard to find the actual numbers of people taking it. But in the New York Times here, we found some quotes from this. And the title is The Age of Distraction. Distraction and depression. And it says antidepressants continue to be the most commonly prescribed of these medications in the United States. And their use has become only more widespread since the pandemic began, with 8.7% of an increase from 2019 to 2021, compared with 7.9% from 2017 to 2019. So going up pretty much the whole time. But it also goes on to say about how many prescriptions are being filled. IQVIA, a global health technology and clinical research firm, found that in 2021, a total of 337,054,544 prescriptions were filled.
Wow.
But here's the kicker, Del. This is when we start drilling down to the really dangerous parts of this. For some age groups, that change has been more pronounced. Since 2017, that's, you know, years before the pandemic, there has been a 41% increase in antidepressant use for teenagers included in the Express Scripts data. So that was a study of 19 million kids.
Wow.
41%. Same thing happening in the UK. This is what's going on over there with their antidepressant use. 1 in 8 people taking antidepressants as pandemic blues linger. Now, this is a study we have not talked about. It's one of the most important studies on this topic that has ever been published. And you probably didn't see it on NPR, government-funded agency, or the CBC. Here's the headline. The serotonin theory of depression, a systemic umbrella review of the evidence. The authors aimed to basically evaluate the evidence on whether depression is associated with lower serotonin concentration or activity in the brain. So when we think about depression, most people just have this reflex action. They don't really know where it came from. Oh, yeah, it's chemical imbalance, chemical imbalance. There's, right. there's chemicals off, serotonin. And we don't know really where that came from. So these researchers, they looked at basically three of the major research databases, and they looked at from the inception of when these ideas were found in the databases all the way up till December of 2020. And listen to what they wrote. They say this: our comprehensive review of the major strands of research on serotonin shows there is no convincing evidence that depression is associated with or caused by lower serotonin concentrations or activity. Jeez. Remember, this is the whole point of these medications.
It's like over a decade of exactly what you're saying. We've just all written it off as it's been proven. It's a lack of serotonin. You just got to get your, you know, chemical imbalance out. And this is where, you know, when you get in the work we do, you start realizing everything is built on a pile of bullcrap. Assumptions, desires by the pharmaceutical industry to push an agenda because they have a product that can boost serotonin, whether it's good for you or not. Let's make billions of dollars off of it. And now when you finally start looking at it, they have no science to back it up, you know. And then, you know, you end up having someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson show up and tell you, well, the consensus says.
Right.
Consensus is following a lie.
We're looking at it specifically for antidepressants over three decades of this idea. And this is why this piece of research right here is so important. So these authors go on to say this, even more damning quotes. This review suggests that the huge research effort based on the serotonin hypothesis has not produced convincing evidence of a biochemical basis to depression. This is consistent with research on many other biological markers. We suggest it is time to acknowledge that the serotonin theory of depression is not empirically substantiated. Now, one of the authors went on to do an interview with a magazine, and you can read that here. And he spoke a little more freely outside of that study. This is the title, Depression is Probably Not Caused by a Chemical Imbalance in the Brain, New Study. He goes on to say this: it is important that people know that the idea that depression results from a, quote, chemical imbalance is hypothetical. And we do not understand what temporarily elevating serotonin or other biochemical changes produced by antidepressants do to the brain. We conclude that it is impossible to say that taking SSRI depressants is worthwhile or even completely safe. So, Del, I ask you this. How the heck did we get here? Yeah. Well, it appears to be kind of the same calculation, the same equation as how we got here with opioids, how we got here with big tobacco, marketing, marketing, marketing. So in the British Journal of Psychiatry, there was this headline: the 25th anniversary of the launch of Prozac gives pause for thought. Where did we go wrong? And the author, the writer says this: the uptake of Prozac was the first antidepressant on the market. The uptake of Prozac became almost a cultural phenomenon, comparable with the fashions for high protein and low carbohydrate diets to lose weight. Quote, Washington City full of Prozac, headlined the New York Times in 1994, City full of Prozac. Just imagine, he writes, I am not aware of comparable historical claims for any other pharmaceutical agent, penicillin included. Wow. He goes on to say, how do we account for this success? It was partially a result of relentless marketing undertaken with an intensity not hereto seen in pharmaceuticals. By 1993, Lilly had 1,600 sales representatives in the field in the USA, surpassed only by SmithKline-Beecham's 1,800 reps for Paxil. That was another antidepressant. So understand that they were flooding the market, flooding people out there, talking to your doctors, talking to the ad agencies, and just putting as many people on the streets as possible to tout this thing and say it's the greatest thing ever. So we have Prozac, which was fluoxetine, that was approved by the FDA in December of 1987, was launched to the market in January of 1988 by Eli Lilly under the name Prozac. So, Del, let's get to the nitty-gritty here. We're all aware of these school shootings. We're all aware of increase in mass shootings in the United States. Yeah. We're all looking for answers. And the reflex action has been to blame firearms. But yeah. Why? Yeah. Why are we blaming firearms? Why are we leaving one of the key components off the table of this conversation every time? And the Washington Post wrote an article recently and revisited a very important event that happened in 1989. This is the headline here. One of America's first workplace shootings had an unlikely suspect, Prozac. Now, they're talking about the Standard Gravaire shooting in 1989. It's a printing company in Louisiana, Kentucky. And Joseph Westbecker walked in with an assault rifle, killed 8 people, injured 12, and then unfortunately also killed himself. And this was the deadliest mass shooting in Kentucky history. And so this really did, this unfortunate watershed moment kicked off an era of mass shootings in the Prozac, window now. We have this window that started. And this is what that looked like in the news. For the first time, America really saw this through the lens of an antidepressant. Take a look.
It was one ambulance after another bringing in the victims of the shooting spree to the emergency room at University Hospital. The hospital was in its Code D disaster emergency plan, mobilizing doctors and nurses to assist the critically wounded.
We needed a lot of personnel, doctors, nurses, x-ray technicians, operating room personnel, recovery room. So we had to mobilize a lot of people.
Jefferson County EMS assisted Louisville's emergency medical services, but there were so many victims that some were brought to the hospital in police cruisers.
Altogether, we were faced with 15 patients who were, many of them critically ill, some of them not so seriously injured. I'd say at least half of those patients needed things done right away. That would be IV fluids, resuscitation, major operations, big tests to see if they had certain injuries.
Family members began arriving at the hospital to check on their loved ones. Some were overwhelmed with grief. For others, the news wasn't so bad. Jeff Seidenfaden says his father, David, did not realize he had been shot in the chest.
As far as he knew, it was an explosion. He didn't know he was being shot or anything. I'd heard from some of the other people in there that I was talking to that their family members had played dead, that they were the first to be shot, and they played dead so that they wouldn't get killed.
I mean, these stories never get easy to hear, but in that moment, it was like a rarity. And I feel like, I don't know what the exact numbers, but it feels like we're looking at a mass shooting now in America almost, I don't know if it's every day, but certainly every week, there's something going on. It's really bad.
Right. It's almost like war reporting, but from a health aspect because of these health connections to these things.
And I want to be clear because, you and I both know we will be attacked for even, venturing into this conversation. But let me be perfectly clear. I'm not saying drugs should be off the table. That guns should be off the table, but drugs should certainly be on the table. And this is happening in almost every important conversation we need to be having here in America and around the world. When we talk about vaccines, which we're doing, COVID vaccine and all the excess mortality, I'm not saying that COVID itself, the disease, isn't, causing that or might be a part of it, but you can't take the vaccine that you gave everybody off the table when you start seeing rises of death after COVID is gone. I mean, it's the pharma, and behind all this is the pharmaceutical industry, the most powerful industry in Washington. It owns your television set. It owns your government. So every time you want to have a decent conversation here, you're ridiculed and called, insane for daring to say, wait a minute, what are these SSRIs doing to the brains of people who are already depressed? We've always had depression. Why do we start seeing school shootings? Why do we start seeing mass shootings? We've always had guns. Why do we suddenly start seeing all these mass shootings? What was the actual change in our society? Oh, I don't know. It just happened to start like with Prozac.
Right. And I'll use the same ideology that I've heard CDC ACIP voting members do for vaccines. If this vaccine can save just one person,
right,
we have to put it on the market. So flipping that around, if these antidepressants cause just one of these shootings, we have to have this discussion and really have it seriously here.
Exactly.
So let's go back to 1990, the summer of 1990, the Chicago Tribune. This was the reporting. Remember, Prozac was just put on the market in 1988. We have this headline, suits take aim at Prozac, widely hailed Lilly drug. And it says, in the last 2 weeks, after 30 months on the market, the drug's glittering reputation has begun to tarnish amid a mounting outcry about alleged negative effects. Lawsuits claim that Prozac caused one user to embark on a murderous rampage in a Louisville printing plant last year, and that it prompted another recipient to repeatedly attempt suicide. He goes on to say, Edward West, a spokesperson, get ready for this, Del, a spokesman for Lilly, declined to comment on the suits, which together asked for $300 million in damages from the firm. The company, he said, contends that information about the drug should be communicated to people by their health professionals, not the media. Right. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 30 years later, same thing. He says, he asserted, however, that an estimated 2 million patients have taken the antidepressant with no notable adverse effects since Prozac received FDA administration approval in December of 1987. So again, two talking points there that we continue to hear clearly These are talking points. You just deflect to how many people have taken the drug or how many people have taken the vaccine.
Great for the consensus. It's great for the larger group. Let's not focus on this little pesky problem with these ones that seem to get off kilter and go and kill their friends.
Right. And what did this drug company executive or this spokesperson say? The media shouldn't be talking about this. This should be communicated by trusted individuals, this type of information, because it's very dangerous. So here we are full circle with Robert Callis saying, you know, again, trusted information. We can't have this misinformation out there. So now let's focus on this lawsuit because, okay, we have Prozac. We have a lawsuit actually pointing the finger at this drug in a mass shooting. What happened? Well, unfortunately, the people that were trying to pin this on Prozac lost. They lost that. And then Eli Lilly was going around saying, you see, it was found in a court of law that our drug was safe. Right. And they went around with that talking point. But now we find this. This is the headline. Prozac maker paid millions to secure favorable verdict in mass shooting lawsuit victims say. Remember, this was the one that could have set the tone for the rest of the world. We probably would never hear of Prozac again. It would have just been a cautionary tale. It says in this article, the drug maker that produces Prozac, the antidepressant that Joseph Westbecker's victims blamed for his deadly shooting rampage 30 years ago at Standard Gravure, secretly paid the victims $20 million to help ensure a verdict exonerating the drug company. Indianapolis-based Eli Lilly vigorously shielded the payment for more than two decades, defying a Louisville judge who fought to reveal it because he said it swayed the jury's verdict. And if that isn't enough, we have, and this we have from the BMJ, missing documents from that trial. So not only did Eli Lilly come in, swoop in, and give money to these people to sway their decision, it appears that some missing documents were taken out of this conversation. There's the headline here. This was the headline from years ago. FDA to review missing drug company documents. And this is really bombshell. It says in here, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has agreed to review confidential drug company documents that went missing during a controversial product liability suit more than 10 years ago. The missing documents, which were sent to the BMJ by an anonymous source last month, include reviews and memos indicating that Eli Lilly officials were aware in the 1980s that fluoxetine had troubling side effects and sought to minimize their likely negative effects on prescribing. And then here's where it really gets into the regulatory part. David Graham, currently associate director in the FDA's Office of Drug Safety, criticized the analysis of post-marketing surveillance data submitted by Lilly to the FDA after discovering that Lilly failed to obtain systematic assessments of violence and had excluded 76 of 97 cases of reported suicidality. Dr. Graham concluded in a memo dated 11 September 1990 that, quote, because of apparent large-scale underreporting, Lilly's analysis cannot be considered as proving that fluoxetine and violent behavior are unrelated. And get this, it goes on to say this. One of the people at the FDA that originally approved this drug for use came back and said this. Dr. Caput, the original reviewer of fluoxetine, told the BMJ, quote, if we have good evidence that we were misled and data were withheld, then I would change my mind about the safety of fluoxetine. I do agree now that these stimulatory side effects, especially in regards to suicidal ideation and homicidal ideation, are worse than I thought at the time that I reviewed the drug.
Wow.
And this is what we're saying.
This is what's amazing about this, is this is hypocrisy, right? On the one hand, you have something like 75 million kids, let's say. And so if you want to say, well, school shootings are rare, it's only, you know, maybe let's say it's happening 200 times. I just make, you know, somewhere in here, hundreds of times, it's tiny in comparison to 75 million. So if you just go with that sort of Neil deGrasse Tyson view of science, which we can keep beating on, which is it's great for the majority, why focus on this pesky little side effect? Well, that pesky little side effect is claiming space in our news and making us all terrified, trying to lock us down, take away our rights, our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, you know, then we've got to look at this. It is just a small group, but that's all it takes. That, you know, that clearly, if this has any ability to give you suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts, meaning I feel no reason to live in this earth and therefore nobody else or none of my friends should either. I mean, it's crazy that we cannot have this conversation.
Exactly. And, you know, the studies are now coming out. People, it seems like the researchers are seem to be a little more free to talk about this. This is one of the headlines out of the UK, actually, just recently, a warning over antidepressants as top experts say powerful drugs may raise risk of suicide. It says a team from the University of East London examined nearly 8,000 inquests. These are coroner's inquests that took place in England and Wales over the last two decades, which mentioned the drugs, these SSRI drugs. They found that around half were definitively ruled to be suicides, demonstrating that antidepressants clearly did not work for thousands of Brits. And one in eight of the deaths involved in overdose using antidepressants themselves, showing they can provide a mechanism for killing oneself, the researcher said. So, Del, I want to add the caveat, you know, people watching this, it's very important, and this is all the research will say this, and the medical professionals will say this too. You do not want to come off these. If you're on these things, which a lot of people are throughout the world, yeah, you do not want to just come off these things cold turkey. You need to talk to your doctor. You need to find out a regimen to get off these if you decide to do that. This is not something you want to take in your own hands, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a graph that gives you a sense of the rise in school shootings. Mass shootings in the U.S. are on the rise, incidents in which four or more people were killed or injured. So here's some numbers for us. Just in 2021, during the lockdown, 690 mass shootings. 2022, 647. Currently, it looks like in 2023, we're at 131 so far. And these are just really, really sad, horrific numbers. And I am so damn tired of having the pharmaceutical industry controlling our news and our airwaves and every shill that calls themselves a journalist attacking anyone that wants to ask a very important and obvious question. What are these drugs you're pumping into our kids having to do with this incredible rise in carnage and lack of connection and love for one another?
Right. Absolutely. And this is an investigation that is just as important as anything anybody's doing out there. I mean, this is the future of, you know, the future of America is held in this space, in this conversation. It's important to do open conversation and to be able to have hands-off government open debate on this is one of the most important conversations of our time.
Jeffrey, great reporting. I love that you just boldly, bravely go in there, pulling out the sort of old data and seeing this cover up, hiding data. This is what you do so well. It's an honor to be working with you. And congratulations once again. You're a huge part of the win with ICANN and the work that we're doing. So, you know, just it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be a journalist on the high wire, and you're doing an amazing job.
Thanks, Dal. We're so proud to be here with you.
All right. I'll see you next week. All right. Well, you know.
Okay. We'll cut it off right there. And that was Jeffrey Jackson and the tail end segment of his Jackson Report on the High Wire with Del Bigtree on the last edition, April 20th, 2023. And we'll be back on the second hour of Liberation Station Radio Show. This live April 23rd, 2023 edition. And I'll have some commentary on that and much more news, such as who in our federal government hasn't taken their oath of office. Hear from Ann Vandersteel on that. We'll be back and can also take your calls if you'd like to call in. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.